Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for calling into our show today. Thank you for joining. Thank you for listening. I am your host, Yolanda Henderson, and I will be talking to you tonight regarding all of your health concerns and regarding godly marriages, godly husbands, and godly wives. This is our last part of our series, part four of Godly Husband and Wives. I am glad that you joined again, and I would like to ask that if there's someone that you would like to hear this call, to call in, and there's a specific number that I will give you. That number is 516-531-9837. Again, that number is 516-531-9837, and I'll have lots of questions and lots of information to share with you tonight. I'm not going to keep you long, and I'm going to tell you what thus says the Lord, and coming from the Bible, I'm going to give you scripture, and I want to be truthful in what I say. If there's something that you disagree about, you can always call me or call me later and do a one-on-one concern with me about that. Okay, so I would like to go ahead and start out with a prayer. And I want to ask everybody that's on the call listening to just take some time, some quiet time, go in a separate room. And I want you to get in tune with the Holy Spirit and to ask God to come into this conversation tonight. I want to have everyone close their eyes and humble their hearts as we begin a prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you tonight asking you to speak, Lord. Speak through myself, Lord. I'm asking, Lord, that whatever the topic is of discussion, God, that there may be someone listening, God, that may need this information, Father God. Even if it is myself, God, I ask that you anoint my mouth, God, anoint my mind, give me the wisdom, Father God, to teach what you would have me to say. God, I thank you for the research. I thank you for the information, God. I thank you for the patience, Lord, in my life, my husband, my children. I thank you for the listeners, Father God, those who have a desire to know what it is that you want us to know regarding a marriage, Father God. Those who are seeking a husband, Father God. Those who are seeking a godly wife, Father God, fill that void, Lord, until the right person comes along, God. We know that we're not perfect, Father God, but you are perfect, God. And we have faith tonight in you, Lord God. And I thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I ask that you lift me up, Lord, that I may be able to speak to a multitude, Father God, that it may be a pleasing unto your sight and unto your will, God. I thank you and I praise your name. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. All right, amen and amen. I always like to start out with the prayer because there's nothing that I'm doing. Everything that I desire to do is through my Father, my Lord and Savior. And he is the one who I look up to and who I ask to give me the wisdom and the knowledge that I have because I'm just a human just like anybody else and I make mistakes the same way that we all have made mistakes. And I'm not pointing any fingers at no one tonight. And I want everyone to be aware that I, too, have made mistakes. And the information that I have learned, if I would have known the information then, I probably wouldn't have made some of the choices that I made. And even though I made those choices, the Bible says that all things work together for the good for those who love the Lord. So I believe that even though I made those mistakes, that God already worked and gone on before me and have already made my path straight. So I have no condemnation and I have no regrets of my past. I just thank God for healing me, saving me, and delivering me and putting my feet on the solid ground so that I may be able to tell others so that they may not have to go down those harmful roads that lays ahead and how the enemy sets our minds up. And a lot of people may not be able to overcome what the devil has allowed to be able to come in our lives and steal from us. We want to keep those things that God has given us as our gifts and our treasure, Lord. So I'm going to jump right in, and I'm wanting to talk about our first discussion, and bear with me while I get my notes together. Protection in marriage and the divine order of the Lord. The divine order works just the way it says, the divine order. God is, he's designated the man as the undisputed head of the family. Okay, so when he said to Eve, your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you. This same principle is reaffirmed in the New Testament in Ephesians 5, 22 and 23. So, I always like to start with scripture. I always like to give you information regarding scripture. So if you have your Bibles, don't hesitate to follow along, because there's nothing that I'm wanting to say to you that is outside of scope of what the word says. Okay? Ephesians 5 and 22 says, you wives must submit to your husband's leadership in the same way you submit to the Lord. For a husband is the charge of his wife in the same way Christ is charge of his body, the church. He gave his very life to take care of it and be its savior. Okay. So, remember, God is over the husband. Okay. This is umbrella. Imagine that you're under an umbrella. God is the head of the umbrella. Then there's your husband's umbrella up underneath his. It's a little smaller. Okay. And then the wives. And then up underneath the wives' umbrella is the children, the homemaking, and activities. That's the divine order of God. That's what he desires for the family makeup. God, husband, wife, children. Okay. Some of us, we don't like to submit to God's divine order. And God is a God of decency and in order. And he wants us to remain inside of that divine order, or we will have consequences. We will have hardships in our marriages and in our lives. Okay? And we'll speak more about the different marriage makeup in a moment. Okay, so society did not assign this position of leadership to man. It was divinely appointed to be the head of the family. And if anybody knows what divine means, it's a divinity. It's something spiritual. It's not something that a man can say, okay, well, this is the order of my house, and this is how we're going to run our house. Well, you can have that. You can go out and you can say, this is how we're going to create things to fit society, our household, but there's a divine order, okay? And we want to make sure that in the divine, the spiritual, we want to make sure that we're in alignment with what the Word of God says. Because if not, then we're open to all kinds of bad things that can happen in our lives that God will take his hands off of and allow chaos and grief, okay? So, back to what I was saying, God's order for the home is the husband to be the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church and head of the man, okay? The head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. 1 Corinthians 11 and 3 says that. I didn't say it. Though this divine order is of authority, God is able to deal directly with both the man and the woman, so providing them each with total fulfillment. It's not to say that women, we don't speak with God, we don't have a say-so to God about our needs or our feelings or our wants. It's to say that our husbands are our spiritual go-to, okay, like in the hierarchy or in corporate America, we have a chain of command, okay? So in our chain of command, if we go to our husbands, we can go to our husbands with certain things, and then we go, you know, go to God with certain things. But first, we need to know what order and where we stand in our marriages, okay? So our position in God's divine order has nothing to do with our individual worth or importance. In Galatians 3:28, we read, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Okay? So that's just saying that we're not less important than the man. Okay? We're all important in God's eyesight. It's just that when you enter a marriage, you have to remember what you're doing. Okay? If it was just that easy, we wouldn't need to be married. You know, if it was just to be, you know, to not have anyone earthly above us, we wouldn't need a job, we wouldn't need rules. So there's a hierarchy in the family household makeup, and that when you're married is the man, and we should be cognizant of that so that we're able to do what the will of God is in our marriages. So a wife tends to differ from her husband in her interests, thinking, and abilities, as well as obvious physical differences. These distinctions make her husband's complement, but they do not make her inferior. Okay, so neither man nor woman has the cause for boasting. Neither needs to fret about having an inferior position. It's just about the home life, okay? So a home with two heads, or one in which the wife is the head, has assorted the order of the man and the woman's role, okay? And therefore, and thereby creating an abnormal condition, God designed the home to run in efficiently with the man as the leader. So ignoring this principle of leadership or devising substitutes has created untold problems. And observing over the years and forsaking God's order in the home, we know and probably have seen the rise of juvenile delinquency, rebellion, divorce rates, a lot of frustrated women, the wives who leave their positions of responder and get their husbands, or get in between their husbands and God in the position of the leadership, and fulfillment and their desire to receive from their marital role is diminished. Okay, so we kind of can cut down our husbands when we think that we're making more money, or we have authority in the household, or we run the house, or we're the head of the house, when that's not God's divine order. So, God the Father designed for our benefit this order of authority so that we can all fit under the God protected umbrella, okay? That's why we need God to fulfill our lives and be ahead of our husbands, because then that way our husbands will know that, hey, we have you here, we need you, husband, to be the head of our home. We can do it without you, but we wouldn't need to be married if it was just supposed to be that easy, okay? We could be single and be the head. A lot of women get that later, want to run everything, want to run the show, and we wind up single. A man can only take so much, okay? But back to what I was saying, let's explore God's order again. God the Father forms a large shield of protection over all creation, okay? Christ, though equal to God, places himself under God's umbrella and is in himself an umbrella protection for men charged with family and work responsibilities. Man, covered by the direct protection of Christ, is charged with providing a covering of protection for his wife and children, and the woman is under protection of her husband, and the children are under direct protection of their parents. Christ, who is God and equal of the Father, is subject to the Father. Likewise, the man is subject to, okay, he's subject also. So it's a lot recognized when we're, as women, trying to take charge of the man, or exchanging our roles, getting out of divine order, same-sex marriages, different things like that. It's just out of the divine order, okay? And it's an abomination to God. You know, we don't recognize and realize why God set up an order that way. You know, he is a God of decency and order. And our minds will play tricks on us and make us feel like there was no order when that's not the truth. The devil is a liar, and he is the author of lies, and don't be deceived. Okay. The woman operating under God's prescribed umbrella of protection for her role assumes support and encouragement from her husband in caring for her home and her children. And as response to her husband's leadership, she enjoys protection and fulfillment in the position that God designed for her. She does not assume pressures and problems that might be draining on her. And she also has the freedom to participate in activities that do not conflict with her role of the wife and mother, which may include in working outside the home, serving as a volunteer, and so forth. Many wives have discovered ways to juggle home and career while maintaining strong relationships with their husbands and children. If a wife does not work full-time outside of the home, the responsibilities of the home should be shared. Okay, so we have shared responsibilities. We have this awesome ability, women, to be able to juggle our lives so that we can multitask. And I always tell my husband I'm multitasking because I do a lot. I do a lot in the home, so and then outside of the home as well. And I try to get that help through the children as well because I feel like they have some responsibility too. They do have chores, so we have to make sure we have an order. Okay, but the order of protection is what we want to stay in. Because God has a covering over us, you know. He protects those where the responsibilities are intact and where they're supposed to be. And I want protection. I don't know about you. I want God to protect me, my family, wholeheartedly, okay? I don't want the enemy to come in and think he got nobody in our house, you know. And that's sometimes what the devil seems like he does. Okay, so I'm going to jump around and I'm going to jump to a topic of God's best for us in our marriages, okay? It's a question that a lot of people may ask, and some people, you know, are okay with having and settling for just enough. At least I got a husband, or at least I got, you know, a job, or at least I got a house. But do you know that God will have this? You would be in okay, I'm sorry. I had some technical difficulties here with my telephone, but I was talking about God's best for us. Okay, so an example of God's best would be Sarah, for example, in the Bible. She responded to her husband as her authority. Okay, through her submission, her beauty was accentuated. Okay, God revealed through his word, He offers us so much, as the psalmist reveals in Psalms 119:114. You are my refuge and my shield, and I have put my hope in your word. As the word reveals Jesus Christ and his will for us, it will be like a flashlight that lights our paths ahead. And he says that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Bible is permanently established that God will always honor and fulfill his word. So if we trust and believe and have faith that the word of God is true, that he wants the best for us, and his protection is based on our performance to his will and not our will, God said through the prophet Isaiah, if you want me to protect you, you must learn to believe what I say. And that has something to do with what I was speaking of the protection and divine order. The protection of the will and going in the right direction, even if it seems like it's wrong, if it's according to the purpose of God, it's always going to be protected. God is always going to have our backs. So, women, don't be hard on ourselves if we started off wrong, if we may have made some mistakes and didn't know how to lead our marriages, or how to submit, I'm sorry, not lead in our marriages, but submit in our marriages, so that we can allow our husbands to be the godly husbands that God desires for our homes. It's never too late, you know. I hope a lot of you did the homework from last week. I know I asked if some women could start praising their husbands to allow him to become the man of God that God created him to be, giving him that esteem to learn and to know that God did not just give us a husband for us to man bash or beat or manipulate or judge, but to praise and honor, because he was created in the image of God. He does desire praise. He does know and is smart enough, because God wouldn't have sent them into our lives if he wasn't equipped or if God was not in control. So first we must be believers, and I mentioned that in the first episode. You must become a believer of the gospel in order to know that God is in control, and that it is not our power, it's God's power that controls the marriage, that controls everything within the marriage. All right, so if anyone have any questions, I'm going to pause for a minute before I get into the next part of our conversation, which is really wonderful. The next part is talking about sexual fulfillment in our marriages. And if anyone have any questions about what I've talked about, submission, God's divine order, or anything like that, please feel free to give us a call, ask questions. The number to call in is 516-531-9837. Again, 516-531-9837. Okay, I am back on live Blog Talk Radio, and I'm going to start off with our next part of the series, the final series, Godly Husbands and Wives, and we're going to talk about sexual relations in a marriage. A lot of people, and sexual fulfillment in a marriage. A lot of people don't talk about this very often, and it's very important to the marriage. And we'd like to get some advice and some direct advice from some callers tonight. So I asked a special person in my life, my husband, to call in and talk with us and be a special guest about Godly Husbands on our last series of Godly Husbands and Wives. And from a male perspective, let us know as women, as wives, and as future wives, what it means to be sexually fulfilled in your marriage, and why a lot of marriages are being destroyed because of lack of sexual fulfillment in marriages. Okay, so I'm going to start off with why it's good to be sexual intimate in marriage. God's plans for you are perfect. There's no area which he has not made total provision for your needs. Because he is interested in your complete personal fulfillment, God has provided a way in which you and your husband can experience and express a deep, intimate relationship he intends for us. One of those ways is through our sexual union. Okay, so sex is God's idea. God incorporated sexuality into his plan of creation. The Lord God said, "It is not good for a man to be alone. I will make him a suitable helpmate for him." So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it." And that comes from the scripture, Genesis 2:18. Okay, so in saying all of that, I'm going to answer the call. I have a caller calling in, and we're going to discuss the sexual fulfillment and what the Bible says and what our caller has to say.
Okay, live on the air.
Hello.
All right, Mr. Henderson, thank you for calling in tonight. So we're talking about God, how God made Adam and Eve, and he made Eve from Adam's rib. Okay, he gave her to Adam and said, a man will be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. So God institutes the marital relationship. All right? So the marriage of Adam and Eve set a pattern for humankind so that human race could be perpetuated in maximum freedom, protection, and in happiness. Can you tell us, from a male perspective, how you feel the importance of sexual fulfillment is in a marriage?
Well, I think from a male's perspective, it's very important that the husband is sexually fulfilled. You know, along with the health benefits that come along with it, it also is good healthy sexual fulfillment from us to be something just as filling as food. You know, it boosts the man's ego, makes the man more confident, as well as close, as well as, you know, it also helps with the feeling of, you know, being in charge of something or dominating something or, you know, the desires of being a man.
All right. So that was awesome. Thank you for answering that question. I have some more questions for you a little later if you could to stay on the line with us. Is that okay? All right.
Okay.
Okay. So there are many stories in the Bible that talks about the sanctification of marriage, okay? Realizing that our husbands need the freedom to initiate sexual actions, communicate with him so you can better understand and meet one another's needs. Respond lovingly, women, being relaxed in the knowledge that it is God's will for you to meet his needs sexually and enthusiastically. So if you do, your mutual fulfillment and enjoyment will grow. So it will become not a chore, but it will be more in a joyful experience knowing that your husband is satisfied and God is satisfied in the process. You're actually praising God whenever you're sexually intimate with your husband, okay? And King Solomon wrote a whole lot of stuff about marriage and wrote a lot of poems about sexual and marriage and sexual desires. So you have a certain level of freedom, okay, when you find out about praising God in a sexual manner with your husband that you don't have when you're not married or just boyfriend and girlfriend. There's a different type of sexual relation, and I'm not sure how many people nowadays really wait before they have sex to get married, you know, first, but it does have a plus, and I can confess to that. It's almost like your first husband is God, and you're practicing being married with our Savior, and he trains us and teaches us what we need to know in order to have a fulfilling relationship with our husband, and I'll get more into detail about that in a moment. Okay, so I had no idea, and a lot of people have no idea, that God has so much to say in the Word about sex in the Scriptures, and that is God's idea that we have sex, and it is designed for creation purposes. It's designed to fulfill the earth. So I've learned to relax and enjoy the desire for my husband, and only my husband. So as a wife plan we have to plan ahead to be able to make those desires come true. And I have a list of ways to plan ahead so that we can fulfill our husband. And if you want to take notes, you can. Get rest necessary in order to be alert and responsive. Okay, so if you come to bed and you're tired, ladies, we tend to do that. We tend to tell our husbands, no, wait, stop. And, you know, we fall asleep or we do other stuff before. That's not in the order of God. I mean, we have to make sure that we are planning ahead to be able to be there and responsive to our husbands, because he can go and find it somewhere else. And we do not want our husbands to be looking elsewhere when we are available and ready for our husband's sexual needs. So whenever possible, build some flexibility into our schedules to be able to meet our husband's needs at night, in the morning, or even in the middle of the day. A lot of women don't believe the lunch break theory. That was one that I can attest to as well. There may be some things that he is lacking, or in the middle of the day he's wanting or whatnot, and we have to be available at all times. So it's great to communicate those desires with our husbands, because we never know what it is that he is lacking. And since our husbands are interested in lovemaking, don't be like the wife who finds all sorts of things to do before going to bed. And that's what I stated earlier. Okay? And get to know your husband's sexual needs and desires. Ladies, don't be afraid to talk to your husband, about his desires and what he likes and what he don't like. And don't be scared to explore or experiment. Don't be too aggressive, but take initiative sometimes. Don't be the type of wife who's shy in a way from sexuality, like it's some type of nasty, you know, disease type of thing, okay? That is what you get married for. You have pretty much a license to have sex with your spouse. All right. So, also, it's a good idea to strive for newness in your sexual relationships, okay? So don't ever let it say to your marriage that the newness has worn off, or that your life has become dull. Because if that happens, then, you know, you have to rekindle those flames. And I also have a list for that as well, okay? So what I've learned is that as you make sex exciting and meaningful part of your lives, your husband will not be tempted to feel that he's missing out or that the newness of the marriage has worn off. He will look forward to the sexual and emotional gratification he has with you. You are glorifying Jesus Christ when you think and plan toward being a good sexual partner for your husband. A married woman, and this is what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7:34, a married woman is concerned about how she can please her husband. When you make sex an exciting, satisfying part of your life together, you will please your husband and be obedient to Christ's instructions to you. If you do not fulfill your husband's sexual needs, you may be a stumbling block in his life and cause him to be led away from spiritual truth instead of towards God. Do not deprive each other sexually so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. And that is in 1 Corinthians 7:5. All right, so I don't have the numbers tonight on the statistics of a marriage and how many marriages have failed because of the lack of sexual desire and pleasing your mate, but I know the numbers are high, okay? So however we must do, women, we have to satisfy our mate in that area, okay? Men are pretty much visual creatures and sexual creatures, and they desire to be pleased in that area. Here are some tips, okay, to making your night exciting and satisfying a part of your life together, and to please your husband, and to the obedience of Christ's instructions. make your bedroom clean and sweet smelling, okay? So if there's some pillows or some sheets or something, his favorite scent, make sure you communicate those things with him and allow your room to be that room that he desires to be in. You can use soft lights or colored lights in the room, or you can use candle lights, just making the atmosphere romantic for him. Playing soft music is also a good one. It's something that enters and brings into a mood of warmth and desire. A lot of love music is something that we normally have in our house, and jazz and spiritual music that's real soft, okay? And if circumstances permit, try having relations in different rooms, maybe in front of the fireplace, or be responsive to willing to a variety of positions as well, okay, so that we don't get bored out with just being in that one particular position, okay? And if you have children, this is a good one for a lot of couples, married couples that have children. Plan a date night where you get rid of the kids and you have a relaxing atmosphere in the home, okay? Or put the children to bed and lock your door to your room, and you create that atmosphere in the privacy of your room, okay? Do not wear big T-shirts or sleepwear that doesn't fit you to bed. That will kill the mood. I know women, we have, I call them our granny panties, and we usually use those and when we feel like, you know, we don't feel like in the mood, and that'd be kind of like a test, I mean, like a clue to guys to leave you alone, but we want to be enticing even when we don't feel like it. And having those awesome lingerie collection for our husbands, married women, that's what we need to have, and make sure we keep plenty of those. We can also spray our mouths, make sure we don't have bad breath, and mouthwash and brushing and good hygiene as well. So remember to splurge your new nightwear or your lingerie if you have some, and make sure that your husband is aware of your femininity, okay? So we like to make sure that we wear in our perfume, and like I stated before, and be excited about being a woman. We don't want to, you know, feel like, you know, we're doing all the duties and we're taking control over everything. So we want to let our husbands know that we are proud of our femininity, women. Make our bedroom the most beautiful room in the home. That's usually a display that our bedrooms are where we are intimate with our husbands and we enjoy that time together. We spend a lot of time decorating our bathrooms and our kitchens or our living rooms, but not enough time decorating and making the bedroom oasis for the mood of intimacy. He blesses the bedroom for a married couple. Make sure that that bedroom is a beautiful place. All right, so those are some of the tips that I have on the bedroom and the tips. Another good topic is the sexual problem. Okay, as a health coach, I have bunches and bunches of information about incontinence and medical purposes and reasoning. There may be a point of time where the man or the woman have hormonal imbalances or need to get certain treatments or whatnot. There's natural remedies, natural treatments. There's herbs and there's vitamins as well. And me and my husband, we know about different kinds of things. And if there's a problem that you have, either my husband for the men or myself for the women can be able to steer you in the right direction towards some supplements that may be able to help you perform sexual or get your sexual desires met if you have problems in that area. Okay, so recognizing the differences in sexual responses, and realizing how your husband is different from us sexually. We'll have a more men will have a more aggressive, stronger sex drive than ours. Okay, so as you heard from my husband earlier, there's lots of benefits from having a sexual relationship inside your marriage. Okay, so know how to respond to your leader who God created for you to lead in your home, and respond to his sexual desires. Okay, so a man is usually stimulated by sight. So if he watches you undress before bed or you arouse him, he's already ready to be prepared for that type of relationship with you. After an argument, your husband way of saying, "I apologize for my behavior now. Let me show you how much I love you," maybe to pursue sexual intercourse. Okay, sometimes those are his ways to apologize. And we'll still be mad or upset after an argument, but our husbands will rather move on and show his love or emotions through sex. Realizing also that the husband believes that his masculinity is tied to his ability to satisfy your sexual needs. If he is unsure of his masculinity or been male bashed, ladies, or shut down or kicked or, you know, felt like not a man, his desire to turn you on or to sexual be intimate with you will be refused, and he will his advances or fear that he won't be able to adequately meet your sexual needs will be heightened. So we have to make sure that we are not over-controlling or overruling in our relationships and our marriages. Therefore, staying within our role, okay? Now, do you have anything to add? Was my caller still here? Okay, caller, do you have anything to add?
I just say, you know, that you all should have a good time. Yes.
All right. Is that all you have for us tonight?
That's all I have. Sex is a beautiful thing when it's with your spouse.
Sex is a beautiful thing when it's with your spouse. Okay. And we shouldn't use sex as a weapon either, right?
Don't use it as a weapon.
Okay. So the Paul wrote in the Bible that the wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. Do not deprive each other. That's in 1 Corinthians 7:4-5. If you place a price tag on your sexual relationship, your husband may feel the price is too high and go shopping elsewhere, or he may in turn erect physical and emotional walls that include anger and bitterness towards you. Okay? So, God's plan for sex, and we're going to get ready to wrap it up because our time is coming to a close. So I just want to go ahead and let you know that God designed a complete, mutually satisfying sexual relationship for you and your husband. So he has set certain boundaries or prohibitions because he loves you and desires you to be happy. Sex can be compared to another of God's good gifts, like food. For everything God stated is good, and nothing is to be rejected. And if it's received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. And that's in 1 Timothy 4. Food, when eating in the proper portions and balance, provides health and pleasure. But if we violate those boundaries, we become gluttons, okay? Or gluttons. The sun, also God's gift, provides warmth and light, but can cause pain when we overexpose our skin to his rays. Likewise, the Bible gives a balance, a healthy view of sex. God does not hide the details, nor does he glamorize or glorify the wrong use of sex. God's information is complete and perfect. For example, God has prohibited adultery, sex with someone other than your husband or wife, because it destroys your soul's oneness with your husband. The fact that adultery can destroy you as a person is revealed in Proverbs 6:32. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. he who does so destroys his own soul. God also says that sexual immorality affects the body. All other sins a man commits are outside of his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. And that's in 1 Corinthians 6 and 18. Adultery can affect the body in many ways, such as causing you not to be able to function properly and taking away full enjoyment in your husband. Promiscuous sex also carries a huge risk of potentially life-threatening sexual transmitted infections and diseases. Furthermore, an adulterous person can become laden with guilt, shame, or distrust. As God clearly emphasizes, marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexual immoral. And that's in Hebrews 13 and 4. Without unity of soul, the sex is an act of improper union of bodies and is not ultimately fulfilling. Of course, adultery and promiscuity are not the only ways we distort God's plan for sex. Okay, and here is a list. Reading romance novels excessively, masturbating excessively, daydreaming excessively, fantasizing, pornography, engaging in internet relationships with a man or woman who isn't your husband. All of these behaviors reflect an unwillingness to believe that God's way is best. They often stem from my own self-centeredness and lack of self-control. We want to be in self-control, okay? We don't want to feel like our lives are so bound by other things that something can take control of our lives and we're in bondage, okay? Because that's not freedom. We want freedom in our lives, okay? We want self-control. While we think of these activities as harmless diversions, they're really harmful distortions because they shift the focus of our sexual desire from fulfilling our husband's or our wife's needs to fulfilling our own selfish gain. This unbridled desire is lust, and because lust is not of God, and it never will be, and it never will be satisfying, not only that, and if we indulge ourselves in this way, we risk becoming slaves to our own desires. Like I said, we're in bondage. We're not free, okay? Because our desires have entrapped us or enslaved us. When this happens, we violate the commands given to Christians in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 3. For this is the will of God, that you should be consecrated, separated, and set apart for pure and holy living, that you should abstain and shrink from all sexual vice. And Peter 2 and 11, beloved, I implore you to abstain from sexual urges, the evil desires, the passions of the flesh, your lower nature, the wage of war against the soul. Okay? So, forgiveness and healing. God does forgive us, okay? And even in marriages that have gone through certain things, God can heal, and he paid the price for our sin. He died on the cross, and that if we confess our immorality as sin and accept Christ's forgiveness, and seek a life of fulfillment according to God's will, he does forgive us of all of our sins. And that's 1 John 1 and 9. Okay? But it does have a number of hidden visual consequences, including deep emotional pain. And the pain can heal, and it takes quite a while for some of those healings to take place. But they can be healed. We want to thank you all for joining us tonight and listening to our blog talk about godly husbands and wives. And I hope that you learned some things tonight. And we pray that you take whatever you learn and share it with others. Replay is available after the show. Give us a call if you have questions. 1-888-959-2093. And we are your holistic health coaches. Thank you and God bless you. Good night.
Mm-hmm. So,